and just remind us together of our warfare. And there still is a battle going on in the spirit realm, huge, a war, if you would. And we need to really, really guard ourselves from lazy-mindedness. If there was a title, now listen, we're Grace Church. This in no way is pointing a finger at anybody. Like I've said many times, if you feel like I'm pointing a finger, notice that I got three back at me. But one of the biggest struggles that we, especially here in America and in the American church, it's, you know, and I mentioned this last week or a couple weeks ago, whenever it was, irrelevant, but how that it is, it should not be that whatever trend is happening in the world, in the U.S., tends to transcend into the church. We're called to be different. We are, Peter refers to us as a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. Isn't that amazing? A peculiar people. That's not a hard one for most of us. Right? Help me with the rest. Chosen generation, royal priesthood, peculiar people, called forth. Maybe we should look at it. Anyway, call forth the praises of Him. Show forth the praises of Him. Call forth to show forth the praise of Him who's called us out of darkness. Something along that line. So, we... What's that? Into His marvelous light. Yes. So we are the called out ones, and we're spoken of as different. And yet it's sad that so much of what takes place in the world seems to transcend. I think I gave the example, please, if you've been divorced, nobody's pointing a finger. Aren't you glad for the God of a second, third, however many chances it takes for us to, you know. But it's amazing how that the divorce rate in the church, in America at least, according to Barna, just transcends right over, I mean in the world, transcends right over into the church. Somewhere we've lost concept of what that covenant means. We've lost touch with biblical values in reference to relationships and love and what real love is, etc. And have embraced, whether regardless of what we preach or say we believe, what we do, and this is what James bears out. James says, you tell me about your faith, show me your works. And a lot of people who have come into the grace message are confused by James, as was Martin Luther, by the way, who wanted to take the book of James out of the Bible because he didn't understand. There's a big difference between the works that Paul references primarily. For example, in the book of Romans or in Galatians, these were works of righteousness, human attempts at righteousness through works of the flesh, works of the law primarily. Hugely different from James' message, which were works of faith. And it's completely in line with Paul's teachings. Paul in Ephesians chapter 2 says clearly how we receive salvation. And then he says that we are chosen in Christ Jesus, formed in Him for the purpose of doing good works. So good works follow a heart transformation. How many are glad for the new birth this morning? 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, therefore if anyone is in Christ, they are a new creature. How many are glad for that today? Old things have passed away. As far as God is concerned, with the real you, your spirit man, you are now one with Christ, hidden in Him, Colossians 3 says. How many are glad to be hidden in God, in Christ Jesus? And that, boy, that's amazing. We just breeze right through those things. How many are glad to be hidden, especially in times like this? Come on, are you here? Colossians 3:3, hidden in God, in Christ Jesus. I remember years ago, just a little side pass, I'm good at those. Years ago in Guatemala, when Guatemala was under tremendous siege, the leftist, Healy, Cuba, Russia via Cuba, insurrectionists coming in, and they were doing their best to topple Central America. They'd already taken Nicaragua, El Salvador was on the teetering point, Guatemala was under the chopping block, and they were doing their best. They weren't even worried about Honduras. You've heard me tell that story, most of you. My dad's part in that, but this was at a time when Guatemala, they were really making a hardcore surge in guerrilla warfare and activity to topple Guatemala. And during that time, a man who didn't even know my dad, a man who was a very new Christian, very wealthy individual, and was just becoming familiar with full gospel businessmen, newly saved and filled with the Holy Spirit, had a dream. And in that dream, he saw, didn't know my dad from Adam, he saw my dad and said, "Go," and in the dream, he saw, or heard a voice say, "Go tell Tom Shaw to hide." And I don't remember exactly all the details. They're going to kill him. And so he was very troubled. And in a meeting that we had with the guy that was head of a ministry we were involved that time, Jim Zirkle, I remember Kim Zirkle from Guatemala, it was her dad before he passed. We were in a big meeting in a house in this guy's home, big, beautiful home in Xela, Guatemala. And my dad's sitting at a table where we're all eating, and he overhears this guy, this newly saved businessman, whispering to Jim, I think this is how it happened, yeah. And he overhears him talking. He said, "Listen, do you know anybody by the name of Tom Shaw? I had a dream. Aren't you glad God has our back?" Yeah. Do you believe he does in America right now? That's why it's so dangerous when we're double-minded in reference to the Holy Spirit. It's why it's so dangerous when we're double-minded in reference to the gifts of the Holy Spirit and our openness to them. That's our biggest battle. Anyway, so back to this. So Dad overhears this, and it scares him. My dad was newly baptized in the Holy Spirit, by the way, at this time as well. All this is very new. And can you imagine hearing this and knowing what was going on? And he goes to Jim Zirkle. And at this time, the backdrop of the story is that there was guerrilla warfare going on all around our area. I mean, it was dangerous to travel. They were doing stuff like getting boxes of roofing nails and scattering down the roads, stopping traffic, shooting people, terrorism, tearing everything up they could. It was bad. It was really bad. I mean, I found dead bodies, literally, in ditches on my way to school. Bombs going off in the middle of the night. A mortar fire within, close to our house. Machine, you could just hear pop, pop, pop. Yesterday evening, somebody was out shooting below where we're living right now, behind Granite Mountain, and you could hear the distinct sound of a 223, that distinct pop, 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 pop. And boy, for a minute there, I was like, "Ooh, that is not a good sound." For a minute, I love it, own it, but in that setting, it brought back some memories that weren't so great. And my dad, anyway, he said, went to Jim Zirkle, and he says, "Oh, the part of the dream was this guy who didn't know who Tom Shaw was said, that's what it was. Go tell Tom Shaw to hide. That's what it was. Go tell Tom Shaw to hide. They're going to try to kill him." Well, you got to understand all that's going on. I mean, you couldn't travel up or down out of the mountains. It was very, very dangerous. Dad goes to Brother Jim Zirkle, who strategically, knowing that fear was gripping a large group of missionaries, at that time working under the ministry, Enseñanzas Agua Viva, Living Water Teaching, and he arranged a trip, got information to get them out of the hot zone and down into a vacation area for about a week until some of this siege had passed, to get them out of there. And he prayed, a tremendous man of God, prayed about it, paid the way of all the missionaries, quite a guy, and took them down to this area. And Dad went to him, now in fear for his life, knew all this, and he said, "Jim," he said, because Jim later came and told him what had been said. It scared my dad pretty bad. And he said, "Jim, where do I hide?" And he said, Jim, without any delay, said, Tom, there's only one place you can hide. It's in the Word. Psalm 91, he who dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow, the protective covering of the Most High God. John chapter 1, verse 1 says, in the beginning was the Word was with, and the Word was God. Jesus. Last week we talked about Emmanuel, God with us. And now because His work, can you shout it out with me, God in us. How many are glad for Jesus today? He said, Tom, you're going to have to hide in the Word. You're going to have to get a hold of your mind. Know where your battle's at. And hide in the Word of God. My dad took that as it was just a real revelation and a word spoken in due season by the Spirit of God directly. My dad climbed into that thing, and we had a tremendous ministry far back in the middle of guerrilla warfare and chaos in that area. And I watched as my dad and my mother, our family, in the middle of all that, just seemed to walk in a bubble. You've heard me tell some of the stories newly, somewhere around this time, because this all happened within a short 4-year period. Some of you have heard me tell the story of coming up out of where we had lived up in the mountains and up over a big ridge up into the higher mountains, all open range country, beautiful, up through a set of pines and to a fork road. And as we approached, we saw a line of guys out across the highway. Remember me telling this story? And newly baptized in the Holy Spirit, my dad and I, and my mother, I remember my dad moving through and saw what was happening. There were guerrillas lined out across the highway, guns all standing. And I heard my dad, I can still remember it, the thrill of it, praying in other tongues. And he just kept going. And as he kept moving towards this thing, as God is my witness, I was there sitting right next to dad. Much of the time I was driving with him at that time. And I watched as guerrillas facing us with guns, blocking the road where we had another however many miles to go, dirt roads back to where we lived, literally looked at us and did this. Watch, I'm not exaggerating. They literally did this. In the middle, opened away from us like this, opened up away. They literally did this and watched us pass through like they were in a trance and closed back. We looked back. I said, Dad, he said, what are they doing? I said, they closed back. They're standing in the road like we never came through. Caleb would have been a baby at this time. He'd have been with us. If God be for us, who can be against us? That word given to my dad, where do you hide? You hide in the Word of God. Jesus said in Mark chapter 3, he said, if a house is divided against itself, it cannot stand. James chapter 1, James writing, speaks of double-mindedness. And a lot of people have taken that chapter and those verses way out of context. And they have read it to mean, because of legalism, and you've heard me teach on this before, but they've read it to mean that if you're double-minded in any aspect of your faith, you can't receive anything from God. How many have received things from God when your faith was shaky and you were struggling, but you were looking to Him and worshiping? So either that scripture is wrong, or we've misinterpreted it. And when you dig a little further and you find out who James is and who he was writing to primarily, he's speaking of Jews primarily and their faith towards God. It's one of the 6 tenets of the Jewish faith listed in Hebrews chapter 6, faith towards God. And their misunderstanding on who God was and what his heart was like. If you notice in those verses in James chapter 1, he challenges them on this. He says, let no man say when he is tried or tested or tempted with evil that he is tempted by God. For God is not tested, tried, tempted with evil, neither does he test or try or tempt man with evil. And he is bringing new information to a people and saying, your understanding of the goodness of God. This is why in the same chapter, a little later, he says, I want you to know something. Every good and perfect gift, this is all in James 1, every good and perfect gift, he is revealing to the nation of Israel, new brothers in Christ, Jews, listen, God is not who you have thought he was. Everything has changed with the Son. He opens up with wisdom, the wisdom of God. If we let it have its perfect work, we'll be perfect and entire, lacking nothing. And then he goes in and begins to give a dissertation on who God really is. Double-mindedness about who God is. So anyway, back to this idea. Double-mindedness, divided, a divided mentality. You know, right now, the world faces a major threat. Specifically, our nation faces a major threat. Recent revelation of how much China, an existential threat, an enemy, has infiltrated our government, our whole system, our culture, everything from Hollywood, all forms of entertainment, all of our social media, ownership. It's mind-blowing, right down to what President Trump now is finding out is right even inside and close to him. And it happened, I believe, in large part because of lazy-mindedness. Americans, listen, this is not, please, I'm speaking in generalities right now, but I want us to also recognize some things personally and internally in your walk with the Lord, okay? The lazy-mindedness is one of the biggest dangers we face right now. It was just a few elections ago we stood in shock as a man was reelected who was totally tearing down the fiber of American freedom. He was on the heels of another man who we thought was very wicked, but this was much worse. And then to see a reelection, now we realize that already at that time, there was already election fraud, there was already all kinds of evil being done. That is all coming to light and coming to bear right now as we are, right now, as we're speaking, these things are coming out. But in large part, and you've heard me say it before, if this nation were to go the wrong direction, I would lay first and foremost that fault on the American church because of bad theology, of bad thinking, our unwillingness to be involved in the political processes and all of our excuses for why, bad eschatology, and a get-out-of-here escapist mentality. You've heard me talk about all those things. But more importantly, and it's something that we saw, it was a cyclical With the nation of Israel, you study the Old Testament, God allowed us to see that on purpose. There was this cycle of deception, enslavement, crying out to God for deliverance, God responding with deliverance, Israel being saved, Israel as a result of that being blessed, Israel becoming fat in that blessing, Israel forgetting where the blessing came from, falling asleep mentally, you could say, and the process of falling into enslavement once again. I mean, the cycle just continuing. Captivity, delivered, blessed, falling asleep to who they were, falling back into captivity, crying out for salvation, receiving salvation, this cycle happening. America right now, one of the biggest dangers that we face is not without, it's within. Starting with us individually. And I'm not speaking a negative message today. I think that what I'm saying right now is, somebody said it last week in secular news, these people thought they were already, that they had already won, but they have, John and I were talking about this, but they have awakened a sleeping giant. What I want to address this morning is the sleeping giant. We wouldn't be here if it weren't for that. Asleep. Americans, like Israel of old, we have become addicted to our excess. I'm so glad for excess. People get all worried about, you know, you got the people that are anti-prosperity message and they're anti-this and anti-that and whatever. I mean, everywhere you look in Scripture, when God blesses, He doesn't do it just enough ever. He is El Shaddai, the God who is more than enough. Even Psalms 23 says, my cup runneth over in excess. You got Paul preaching to the Corinthians saying, look, man, God's design is for you to be so blessed. I understand there's prosperity guys out there that have taken that message way too far. I get it. I'm with you. But to just throw the baby out with the bathwater, I mean, who is the one who blesses you? Your hand or His hand? Well, if it's His hand, hopefully you've got Scripture to back that. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and 9, read it for yourself. The whole two chapters, Paul is speaking of nothing but money. And he says something shocking in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. Says, speaking of Jesus' death on the cross, says, He was made poor. In that state, He was made poor so that you could be, and the context here is money, provision, so that you could be made rich. Now let's define rich real quick. Rich does not mean a preacher who has a three-story elevator in his home. That's none of my business, but I think that's excess. That's not what he's talking about. Rich is a full supply, defined by Scripture, blessed to the place where I can be a blessing to others in need. And Paul goes on to even say a little bit more than that. He said, at any time. I don't know about you, but I'm still reaching for that one where I can be a blessing to anybody in need at any time. But I'm going for it. How about you? Lazy-minded, double-minded people won't. Double-minded in their theology, intimidated by people who come against excess in the church and the prosperity. It's what you always hear, okay? Let me back up to where I was at. Give me just a moment to reconnect. Do I have your attention yet, by the way? This, we are addicted. So there's no problem with excess. He is a God who is more than enough. But when we forget why we're blessed, when we forget where the blessing comes from, I can truly say, we are more blessed, Jackie and I. I mean, do you know how many times we sold all our stuff and gave it away and went to the mission field or went off to somewhere else because we felt like, I mean, we don't have anything left of anything that we had the first 10 years of our marriage. I look back now and I think so much of that was unnecessary, but God honored our hearts. And He's blessed us. Just like He's blessed many of you and wants to bless all of you more. But we must remember who the blesser is and why He blesses us, and to always remain children. I love David's response to his own Spirit-inspired prayer. I think it's Psalms 118. Somebody look at it. I want to make sure that I'm giving you the right Scripture. I think it's Psalms 118. I'm hoping, if not, look, somebody look at it on a concordance real quick on your phone. It's not 18, is it? No. It's where he says, how shall I repay you for all the benefits, all the good things, he's saying, that you have given. How shall I repay you for that? He says, in response to his own Spirit-uttered prayer, he says, I will lift up the cup. Somebody find that verse real quick. I've got the wrong address. I used to have that, huh? What's the verse? So Psalms 121? That doesn't sound right. There it is. That's it. That's it. 116. One, is it 116:12? How shall I repay you? I knew it was, I said 118, I knew it was off, I knew it's close. So 116 verse 12. Thank you. Where he says, how will I repay you? The way he said that I repay is by humbly as a child lifting up the cup of my salvation and saying, I'll take more. Some people would interpret that as, well, wait a minute. No, that's true humility. I know who my source is. I know where my blessing comes from. And I know that he wants to bless me more than I want to be blessed. And I'll humble myself and take all you're going to give me. I love that attitude. But we've got to remember why. We can't ever forget. Americans have become addicted to their excess. We're addicted to our hobbies. We're addicted to our work. We're addicted to our busy schedules. We're addicted to the busyness of social media. We're addicted to a lot of stuff. And really all it is a form of anesthesia. When the pressure gets too great or when we don't want to deal with what's going on around us, we retreat to our drunkenness. Now listen, this is a preacher of grace, but remember it was the preacher of grace who referenced to believers drunkenness. Ephesians chapter 5, he says, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but rather be continually filled by the Holy Spirit. How? By singing to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making melody in your heart to the Lord. Americans are drunk on excess. Right now, I see, the other day we were headed back out to where we're living now, heading down Williamson Valley Road, and it was just after it had gotten good and dark. And there was a kit fox that ran out in front of right out in front of my truck. And it was comical and yet sad at the same time. I don't know how I missed him. That thing ran out, and the lights, I'm coming up on it, we're on a curve, I'm coming up on it, my lights hit it, that engine's roaring, and that thing did not know which way to go. The lights were this way, and it just started doing, just going crazy in every circle, and I tried to shut down my brakes, and but he's just going nuts in the middle of the road. Huh? Well, it happened so fast, Jesse Ann, I wasn't thinking about that. And I didn't hear a thump, and I actually went back and looked to make sure I hadn't hit the poor little guy. Somehow he escaped that whole deal. But he didn't know which way to go. So he was stuck in the middle of the road making circles. You know, there's a lot of stuff going on right now. And I hear, and listen, this is not intended to hurt anybody. I'm not thinking of anybody in particular, but I've heard more than one person, people that I love, and I don't judge them for this, but this is kind of a wake-up call. Heard them say, you give them information on the lies that are being perpetrated right now to the public on COVID-19. You can give them actual papers from actual doctors, pathologists, virologists. You can give them all the information medically, scientifically on masks. But they refuse to deal with it. Yes, I hear you, but... And I have actually heard it from more than one person. So if you think you're being singled out, don't be. But more than one person. So right now, because we see all this stuff, we hear the facts, but we also know what some of our friends and family have gone through. I mean, right now you're starting to hear it more and more. I have a friend that. And I want to press them and say, but don't you understand that just because they say you were tested positive. Do you understand that right now, medical science, right now, PCR tests are a total failure. And that's the best one. There's five total. That's the best one. It's a total failure. And it never has been able to isolate COVID-19. So people are running in fear and cooperating with a system design, ancient system, by the way. If you go do the science on it, this goes back thousands of years, hundreds and hundreds of years anyway, to where this same system is used and has been talked about to force you to kneel in your mind. And I use that often. Now listen, I didn't mean to get off on masks, but here's my point. When I give people information, you can't shove it down their throat. Okay? But when you give people information and the time is not taken to study out truth, and when the approach is, well, I hear this, but I also see this, so therefore my approach is to kind of stay, just we're somewhere in the middle. The middle of the road is a good place to get run over. That Kit Fox didn't know which way to go. At some point, if you don't learn enough to take a stand, if you don't stand for something, what's the old country song? You'll fall for anything. And at some point, you know, we're in danger in the grace message of thinking that this is all about just love and acceptance. This is all about being non-judgmental. This is, listen, grace actually, it doesn't blur the lines. It makes the lines clearer, crisper. It has a polarizing effect. Jesus himself said, I did not come to bring peace, but I brought a sword. If you don't understand the context, that will confuse you. What he was saying is, there is a sword of truth that doesn't change according to circumstance or opinion or people. And he knew that truth would be a balm of healing for the hurting and the hungry. This is why in Luke 4:18, he stands in the temple offending many and blessing others and says, reads out of Isaiah and says, I'm anointed for this purpose. Jesus himself said, I don't come to bring peace. Now, he is our peace. He is peace personified. But what he was talking about was worldly peace. He was saying that truth would cause divisions. And yet we're finding in the name of grace, people hedging on the truth to accommodate and not offend, giving us a pass in making a stand. I'm so glad the apostles of old let their internal battle of faith produce in them an external battle. Jude chapter 3, and Jude himself speaking of, in verse 4, speaking of the contending for the faith. You know what contending is? Fighting for. You see throughout the book of Acts, they weren't fighting in the flesh. They weren't angry. They weren't hurting anybody. But their internal faith, their hiding in the Word, like my dad many years ago in Guatemala, produced in them a courage that rose above natural fear to speak up and to speak out. They were beaten. They were stoned. They were killed. They were threatened. But Paul says, you won't shut me up. I found truth, and I'm ruined for life. Nothing can shut this up. Truth. Jesus said in John 8:32, you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. I've heard it said over and over and over again that that's just speaking in spiritual terms about our freedom spiritually. No, 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 no. That's completely wrong. God, who put all this together, has always been interested in kingdoms and rulers and speaks of those things. Our own Jesus will be King Jesus over planet Earth in a restored heaven and earth right here. He taught his disciples an Old Testament prayer. He says, here's how I want you to pray. It's a prophetic prayer that says, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. His heart right now is not just about, you know, I've heard it said many times that Ephesians 6 speaks of a metaphorical battle that affects our outward life. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. But listen, it's the exact opposite. What you're seeing out here is metaphorical for the real battle, which is a spiritual battle, which produces real effects in our physical life. We think of everything in over-spiritualized terms. Do you realize that the apostles, Paul, traveled from synagogue to synagogue, place to place, arguing with the rulers of his nation, convincing the people that they were wrong with the threat of death, which eventually happened to him. But he said, I can't not speak. In fact, he said, pray that the Lord would give us the opportunity to speak these truths with boldness. Romans 8, we love to talk about nothing shall separate us from the love of God. But Paul was going even further. He was saying, because I've had a revelation of his love for me, nothing will stop me. No power in heaven or in earth or in hell. Nothing because of the love of God. I wish today we don't have a camera rolling. It's a message that our whole nation needs to hear right now. The people of God need to stand up with truth in their heart and truth in their mouths. People say, well, he's not talking about truth. He's talking about just the truth of the gospel. Listen, the truth of the gospel sets men free, singularly and plurally. I spoke just a minute ago about the fact that right now we are on the precipice of a long laid out planned strategy to take America down. They're everywhere, even in our local authorities. And it's happened because people, and Keely, for me, Christians, including myself, we've been asleep, drunk on our excess. Like I said a little bit ago, a few elections ago, we stood in shock. Some of us kind of rallied, but we got through somehow and grasped on a few. But the minute the economy rebounded and things were flowing good and jobs were okay and it didn't seem like all of the stark cries about the encroachment on our freedoms didn't really materialize, it's the way the enemy works. It is the proverbial frog in the boiling water. And demonic powers that seek to oppress the world, that seek to come against the only nation that stands boldly written into our laws, in God we trust. They knew, they said it way back in the 60s, we'll never defeat them from the outside, but we'll defeat them from within. We've become intoxicated with the toys and the things that China has provided us. And I'm not trying to wax political about China, but what I'm saying, we have a real serious existential threat right now, an enemy that is on the precipice. They're tied. You guys, if you've been paying attention at all, see, and if you haven't, I don't mean to offend you, but that's lazy-mindedness. We need to know what it is that we're dealing with. And then we need to learn that the fight is not physical. It's spiritual first. John 8:32, Jesus said, you'll know the truth and the truth will set you free. I'm reminded of a couple of different scriptures. Peter said this. He said, speaking to that group of people that he was writing to, he said, gird up the loins of your mind. New Living Translation says, be very alert mentally and sober in your thoughts, awake and aware of the truth that you have in Jesus. And I understand that speaking in reference to the gospel, in contrast to all that was coming against it. But in real terms, in that day, what they were combating were the rulers of their nation and potential freedoms as a result. Now, they never realized that, okay? But we live in a nation where we have, and the whole world has been blessed exponentially because of the gospel. More money, more missionaries, more good in the name of God and in Jesus specifically, has gone around the world exponentially than any other nation because a few men were willing to stand and fight for what they believe. The apostles contended for the faith. They did not hide as cowards their faith internally and privately. But the faith that they had in Jesus and in God produced in them a boldness in which they were willing, in the face of certain death, as did our forefathers in this nation, were willing to make a stand. I think it's time for us to be aware of what the enemy, now listen, what is happening nationally and globally. We need to individually realize that the enemy works the same way across the board. I think it's a great time for believers in America. Again, I wish we had our camera rolling. I didn't realize it wouldn't be. You'll just have to get on whatever's left of social media and blow the trumpet as much as you can. But here's the deal. Wow. I had no idea I was going here. We're just going to roll with it. All right. It's time for us to resist what is happening, even individually. Aware. I mean, I've been very conflicted internally. There's a lot of areas. How about you? Can you agree with me? Where it's like, it's just kind of, the world's just kind of slid in there. And we're, somewhere we're not aware of it. It's where Scripture talks about the devil being the enemy of our soul. Somebody defined it this way, and I think it's accurate. Your soul is your mind, will, and emotions. You see Scripture bearing this out, that we are save spirit, soul, and body. Aren't you glad that when you were born again, it was your spirit man that was born again? You, by faith, responded, and you were born again, and your spirit man became a new creature. But you still have a job to do and a battle before you. This is why Paul, in Romans chapter 12, if you're taking notes, Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, says, I have just put on display for you. He didn't even know how supernatural and beautiful his exposition of grace would be. It is a masterpiece, none other ever before or like it since, even with the best of authors. The grace message is laid out supernaturally and incredibly, especially between the chapters 1 through 8 of Romans. The tie with Israel and all of that import. And finally, he comes to chapter 10 and begins to lay out the way of salvation, pulling them in. By the time he gets to 12, he says this, so because of all of this, my brethren, I beg of you, I implore you, the King James says. I beseech, the King James says. I beseech you. It's implore, beg you now to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable. That's our job. It's our privilege. Because he's done it all. Now we have the ability to respond. I beg of you to present your bodies a living sacrifice. Jesus has already paved the way, holy and acceptable unto God. That's why it is your reasonable. He's done the hard part. All you got to do is respond. Offer it up. How? He says, this is how. Be not conformed to this world. If you look at Scripture, you'll find that one of the biggest battles that is faced is double-mindedness. And I want to take double-mindedness and add a comma and add to that lazy-mindedness. It's as though the enemy of our souls will just, he try, and right now, this is global, it's national, and it's individual. And I want to stir in you. He seeks to, he always has. This is where he comes in like a flood. And he will pound and pound and pound and pound and pound and try to wear you down. If he can't beat you, if he can't totally get you to back up on your faith or to turn your back on God or to, as old timers call it, backslide or do something, what he will do is try to render you almost punch drunk. Police officers talk about when a shooting goes down, how that everything about you goes into a narrow focus, and there's a point in there where you are highly endangered. If you're not aware of that, and you don't know what to do with it, it can cost you your life. And the enemy, that is his thing. Paul tells us that we are fighting a good fight of faith, but I want you here to know today that it's still a fight. It's a good fight. It's a fight that we'll win in the end no matter what. But right now, are we even fighting it? When I hear people say, I'm just tired of all this. When I even approach these things in a service, and you're hearing it in different places, but I'm hearing it less and less, people are starting to wake up. Listen, you ought to be suspicious when the dissemination of truth is being uniformly, I mean overwhelmingly, crushed. And it bothers me more when I hear people say, well, I just don't want to be bothered with all that, and I don't want to think about it. I just want things to go back to normal. That's lazy-mindedness. That's lazy-mindedness. That's why we're where we're at. Right now, truth is... It can't be. There was an interview that I saw by Joshua. How am I familiar with Epoch Times? Joshua Phillips, Crossroads. If you've never seen it, Crossroads on YouTube, it's a channel, Crossroads. Joshua Phillips interviews Lynn Wood. Powerful attorney that's jumped in the foray with Trump in reference to Georgia, sided with Sidney Powell, and so a tremendous guy. I didn't really know a lot about him, but in this interview, he begins to speak of the wanton, open fraud in the election. He speaks of the danger, names, and places of what's happening with China. He openly speaks of the deception in reference to COVID-19 and mask wearing. He openly speaks of all of these different fronts and how that he believes that God, I didn't even know this man was a believer, how that God, Lynn Wood, how that God had allowed Trump to be where he's at to begin to expose and answer the prayers of the church in America. This is this man. If you haven't seen it, you can look it up, Crossroads. And they're sitting there talking. And at one point, it's quite an interview. As he winds down to the end, Joshua Phillips says to him, well, you've said a lot about deception and lies and fraud and truth. He said, how would you define truth? And Lynn Wood, without hesitation, he says, I believe that truth comes from has found us. I don't remember exactly the words he used. He said, but it is an understanding and embracing of the reality of God. And he says more specifically, not just God, but God manifest in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. We clap because we like our heroes. I want to challenge you today. Your faith is not private. Truth is not private. Somewhere along the line, we need to individually and corporately do our homework, ferret it out. You can't disconnect politics from your faith any longer because it's not about politics. That's the trap. I hate politics, but how come every time I mention your kingdom come, your will be done on earth, truth revealed always brings freedom, not just internally and individually, but an expression of truth that gave birth to a nation who has given free course to the gospel all over the world. And the enemy of our souls has hated it from its inception. And he hates you. The same devils and demons and high-powered entities. You remember Daniel? Daniel prayed one time, and within seconds his prayer was heard. He prayed another time. And contrary to the way a lot of people preach it, if you read it right, God still answered within seconds after his prayer was heard. But the answer to that prayer was held back temporarily by one referenced as the Prince of Persia. This was a demonic power over an area, over a nation that withheld. And Daniel did battle in the spirit. And the answer to his prayer, although delayed, made its way home. Come on, people. Where are you at today? Where are you at today? Daniel understood his place. He understood his effect on a kingdom, on a king. It was never about politics, but he knew God's will was that all men would not just be free spiritually, but freedom produces freedom, period. And you have to understand that there are demonic spirits of Antichrist. Now, many of you in here know where I stand eschatologically. I don't believe that we're, you know, don't shoot me down. It has nothing to do with being born again. It has nothing to do with being filled with the Holy Spirit. It has nothing to do with healing. It has nothing to do with deliverance, provision. It has nothing to do with your everyday walk in Jesus, irregardless. But I personally believe the only thing left is for Jesus to return. I think he could come in. I mean, not waiting on anything. But there are those that believe that ahead of us we have an Antichrist, we have a seven-year tribulation, and they always go there because it's this we're going to get out of here attitude. Listen, what if it doesn't happen that way anywhere another 100 years? Are you planning, believing God, sowing seed, pointing towards the future? What kind of a world do you want your grandbabies and your great-grandbabies to grow up in? But irregardless of where you stand on that subject, I still will agree with those of you who embrace that other eschatology. I will agree with you in reference to this. John said in 1 John, there are many antichrists gone out into the world. And the spirit of antichrist is in the world. And there are evil men who will always seek to dominate others and the whole if they can. There will always be another Tower of Babel, whether of stone or digital or whatever it is, when man without God. But this only happens when good men, bad things happen when good men refuse to speak up and stand behind what they've said. And we're there, people. This is not the time to get drunk. This is not the time to go to your anesthesia. Be aware, we're coming into 2021. I believe great things are ahead for those who believe. I'm not destroyed, I'm not distraught, I'm not discouraged. I don't think everything's going down. I think that there are some big surprises in store. Hold the line. Believe God. Let your faith speak. Let it come out of your mouth. Speak in the spirit realm. Do battle in the spirit. And remember, James says, how can a tree, how can a fountain give forth both sweet and bitter water? How is it that we curse and bless with the same mouth? Guilty! I'm so glad for grace. But at least I'm aware of it. If you're drunk, you're not aware. You're just hoping this will all get by so you can get back to your norms. Listen, don't think that's going to happen. I reject the new norms as far as what globalists want to put on us. Stand and fight. Reject those. But the world, there's a shift right now going on in the spirit realm that needs to happen. And it's not all for the bad. In fact, I believe it's all mostly for the good. And I do believe these people have awakened a sleeping giant. Paul says in Ephesians, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Peter says, gird up the loins of your minds. NIV, same verse, says, you need to be stinking. I'm paraphrasing heavy now because it doesn't say stinking, but it says you need to really be alert and sober. Minded. 1 Peter 5:8, Peter says, he says it again, be sober. This has nothing to do with alcohol. It has to do with a mentality. Be sober and vigilant. Let your mind remain. Ask the Lord daily. Help. I thank you in Jesus' name. You said that we have the mind of Christ. Let my mind. Listen, we're going to all go through slumps. With all the highs of my kids being around and Christmas and all, there are places where you're watching the economy and you're watching all the what-ifs and this election's still hanging in the balance and it seems like we gain ground and then it's dashed low and then you find the backstory and you rise again. And after a while, it's just like, whew, I gotta stop. But don't be lazy-minded. Don't retreat. Don't sit there, be like a boxer who's just been hit so long and so hard that they just... Raise your hands all over the room right now. Say with me, Jesus, I thank you that you've given me... Come on, say it out loud like you mean it. From your toes, say it. I thank you, you've given me the mind of Christ. I don't always walk in it, but it's there. Teach me. Thank you for the anointing within that teaches me all things. Thank you that somewhere in there I know more than my head does. Come on, somebody here needs to say that. Somewhere deep inside in the real me, I know more than my head does. And I'll not be led astray. We're being lied to on every front. Categorically across the... This election fraud. This isn't just people being mean because they want to be socialists. This is a demonic onslaught against truth and freedom. I'm not promoting a man. I'm promoting someone who has been willing to fight for a nation that wants to remain free in our expression, in our gospel. He's done more A lot of people, because it's being shut down. Again, as I said earlier, the dissemination of truth is totally being smashed. But if you go, how many are familiar with the Family Council, Family Research Council? Perkins. What's his first name? Tony Perkins. If you've never heard of him, find him on YouTube. Find him on his website. He has a number that you can text. He said it will blow your mind. He said, I'm not here to promote a man, but he said, I'm here to promote something that God has done supernaturally. And he said, if you text that, I will text to you a link that shows you one by one the things that Trump has pushed through, not just in the United States, but around the world in reference to freedom for the church. I say that's something worth standing up for, talking about. And you got to realize that all this other stuff, it's all interrelated. It is all connected. Lies, a barrage to shut down something that God, how many believe that God gave birth to America? Listen, if you don't agree with anything else I'm saying, I had a guy this last week, they were here working on the church, and good guys, both of them. One guy just coming back to the Lord. He said, Pastor Lee, he said, I hear some of the stuff you're saying, but he said, are you saying that there could come a time when we would have to take advantage of the Second Amendment to defend our nation? He says, how do you justify that with Christianity, to love our neighbors, to whatever? I said, listen, God forbid that that should ever happen. I'm not promoting that right now, but it is a safeguard of a free nation. The UN knows it. Interpol knows it. They pull those buttons every time they go in to deliver a nation financially. It's where they go first. Take away the guns. Take away the ability to be able to defend freedom. Where they go. But that's not even where I'm at. Don't need to worry. He said, how is it? I said, listen, you're going to have to separate some things. Your most important fight is an internal fight. That is to rest in the promises of God, to rest in the grace of God, to know that the joy of the Lord is our strength, that He, Jesus, is our peace. To be able to stand and believe God's word, and daily, as God told my dad through a dream at a time when they sought to kill him. Do you know the rest of that story is? They almost got my dad. Coming home late at night, around 1 o'clock in the morning, two guys, the whole city of Shiloh was surrounded with guerrillas, with the military, because they had had a big battle and they'd trapped a few inside the city. My dad had been out to a crusade with another pastor, tremendous guy, Hermano Clemente. If ever there was a man that was like Jesus on planet Earth, it was Hermano Clemente, little Quiche Indian man, preacher, always wore a cowboy hat. Well, one of the reasons I like them. Anyway, and Clement, they were together, and they were coming back nearing our home after they'd gone through a military blockade. Within blocks of our home, there were two guys under the hood of a vehicle. You've heard my dad. Some of you have heard my dad tell this in our Bible school when we had it. They were hunched down like they needed help, and my dad, the missionary heart that got him there to begin with, began to slow down. Oh my goodness, this is a bad time to be broke down. And he heard the Holy Ghost in and around him say, no! He said, it was shouted. He said, I slammed it. My head was going crazy, but I knew something was wrong. He said, I slammed it in second gear on that old Toyota Land Cruiser and drove the pedal home and blew past them as they came out with machine guns. And Brother Clemente said, go, Tom, they've got machine guns. Brother Clemente told later, here are guerrilla professionals banging their guns on their knees trying to get them to work, and the action won't work. That same God is just as big right now here in Chino Valley and here in good old Arizona and US of A. Don't go to sleep. Be sober and vigilant, for your enemy, the devil, walks about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. But he can't just do it arbitrarily. He does it to those who are deceived and asleep. Lazy-minded people are easily fooled. And fooled, deceived people will fall prey to enslavery. But the free of heart will stand strong. Don't get lazy-minded. First know, before anything else, know who He is. Know who His love is for you. And that will begin to paint a picture, as is found in James chapter 1, looking into the perfect law of liberty. That's speaking of the new covenant. That's speaking of the second half of this book, the perfect law of liberty. Remember who you are because of who He is. Know yourself. Not self-possessed, but Christ-possessed. I'm very glad for Jesus today. This is not the time to be, don't get drunk in your job. Don't get drunk in your hobbies. I'm hoping I get to go fishing tomorrow with Bruce. But it's so easy to just, in whatever we're doing, to just drift away. It hurts, and we have, in this nation, what most other nations don't have, we have the luxury of being able to just, I don't want to deal with it right now. They can't do that in Cuba. Our blessing can be our curse if we don't remember who it came from, why it came, and what it cost. Frank. Be sober. Be vigilant. Understand where your warfare is at. It's time where, en masse, the people... I heard on the X-22 report this morning, he says, people are waking up. Now, I don't follow this stuff. I'm not even sure where all that's at, but I hear it more and more from many voices. People are waking up. More and more, we need to speak up. We need to say, he says, if one person says, I'm not doing the mass thing here, it has no effect. But if 5,000 do, when we understand. The problem is the church right now is in a battle. We're being divided from within because we have lazy believers who won't do their own homework and find out the lie that is being perpetrated on them for the purpose of taking away not just your freedom, but freedom wholesale. A gift from God. Lynn Wood, in that interview with Joshua Phillips, said, I believe that God's not done with America. God will give her another chance. He said, I hear a lot of talk about judgment. He said, I don't know about all that, but I know that our God is hearing our prayer. And it still stands true. If my people who are called by my name will humble them, wake up! And humble themselves. Paul says in Ephesians 5, to believers, the grace preacher to believers that he loves. He says, awake thou that sleepest, arise from the dead, and God will give you light. This morning, I'm majorly conflicted because that camera's not on and I hated that thing a few months ago. I'm preaching to the choir today. This won't go on YouTube. This needs to be on YouTube. So you know what? You get to be my YouTube. With grace and love and confidence and strength, open your mouth. Begin to encourage others to make a stand. We're being lied to all the way across the board. And if good men don't speak up, bad things happen. And guys, quit leaving it up to your wife. My wife is tougher than me, hands down. But God called you to lead. You think I'm kidding? You ask my kids. We're sissies, but we're growing. Man, that's felt more like a political stump speech than a message. I hope you don't hear it that way. You know, you hear me yelling like that? I'm not yelling because I'm mad. I'm impassioned. When did it become wrong or a negative? You should go back and read the speeches of the men who formed this nation. Highlighted all over the place as they quoted scripture with massive exclamation points as they screamed from their pulpits. And God heard their cry. And a nation that gave way to more of the gospel than has ever been known. And I believe it can happen again. As not just good men, but godly men in key places. Many of those lawyers were preachers. And recognize the hand of God. Now, before we go, I want you to hear something. We've talked about a lot of this out here. Individually. It doesn't hurt now because of grace. I don't have to fear God. I know He loves me. I know that when I'm broken and undone, I don't have to run from Him. I can climb up in His lap crying, Abba, Father, by the Spirit of adoption. And there's already repentance in that whole scene and admitting I'm little and You're great. So because of grace, I'm not afraid to say, examine me. David's prayer of old, cleanse my heart, O God. Create in me a clean heart. I've heard grace preachers and faith teachers tear that all apart saying, you're perfectly clean. He's talking about the heart of man. That's the seat of your belief system. I'm sorry, but I don't know of anybody who doesn't need a little more cleaning in the seat of your belief system. David was dead on, create in me a clean heart. Oh God, and restore a right. I'm not talking about your. He's speaking before this understanding of the new man, but what he's saying is true. Would you lift up your hands all over the room today? Lord, we can point at the subversion and the deception. Our being asleep as a nation, individually, and how it's affected us. Our nation and our laws. But Lord, right now, before we can even go there individually, we offer ourselves up to You today. Come on, would you all over the room, would you stand with me together with your hands lifted high? Paul said I could do this, that it was an easy, reasonable service. Today I give to You. I beg of You, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God. We afresh and anew today offer up all that we are our mind, our will, our emotions to you, which is our reasonable service. Today, because of grace, we don't commit ourselves. That's a New Year's resolution. Laws are made to be broken. No, this is much more than that. We commit to you, Lord Jesus, back what you have given to us. And we say that by your grace, I will not be conformed. Come on, are you here today? I will not be conformed to this world. I'm not talking about COVID, fraud, politics, all the other stuff, right? I'm talking about individually. The things we watch, we listen to, conversations. I'm talking to Lee right now. There still is a place called by the Most High God. Are you here today? We offer ourselves up. Come on, people of God, right now. Father, I thank you for a fresh baptism in the Holy Ghost. I mean like fire coming down through our fingers right now, going through our body, driving out disorder, driving out all that opposes the knowledge of God. For the weapons of your warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Lord, today we give it back to you. In our resistance to evil men who seek to take freedom away, let us, listen people, God can cause you to supernaturally walk. In strength, without sinning. Now that doesn't mean everything's going to be fine. Lynn Wood himself said, what the world needs is truth. He said, but not everybody wants truth. He said, the truth offends and angers many. He said, but don't ever be afraid of that. Stand with truth. Truth always prevails. You shall know the truth. And the truth. And I want you to know something. It's the truth you know that sets you free. Not that you know about. Or in general. The truth you, not lazy-minded, with the mind of Christ, watching, sober, and vigilant, saying, Lord, keep me sharp. Help me hear my spirit man speak. Let my brain connect with who I am on the inside in Jesus. And let me not be fooled. And let's stand together. Lord, we give ourselves to you today. Our bodies. Our minds. Let this be an exercise that is daily. Or I'm afraid in grace we've slid over into an area where it's just everything's easy. There's a fight to be fought called the good fight of faith. Stand and be counted. Speak up in love. Sober and vigilant, for he is on our side. 1 John 4:4, greater is he that is in you than he that is in Well, it's noon, but I preached myself happy. Glad you came to church today. Would you join me in one more prayer? We speak over 2021.
Yes.
Over this nation. Over this election yet to be defined. We speak grace. Come on, say it. Grace. Grace upon this nation. Grace upon our leaders. Continue to do what we ask you to do and then freaked out when you started doing it. Expose the lies.
Yes.
And let freedom reign. For freedom is only from you. And if it's only from you, it's a good thing. And it's a good thing worth fighting for. So 2021, we thank you in Jesus' name. You've got a plan. I've heard people get all worried, say, what if it doesn't work? Man, I'm telling you what, if it doesn't work, 2024 is going to be the most resounding, blasting blow that the enemies of this thing have ever seen. But let's don't even go there. Let's don't even go there. I believe there's a better way, and it's right now. But we speak grace and peace over our leaders. Continue to do what you do. In the meantime, irregardless, you are my peace. Come on, say it out loud before you go. You are my peace. Your joy is my strength. Greater is he that's in me than he that is in the world. God bless you. Get out of here quick before I start preaching again. If you need prayer, altars are open up front as they continue to worship. God bless you as you go. Have a wonderful week in Jesus. Happy New Year.